Those of us that watch sporting events have all seen those signs holding up in the end zone or another part of the stadium, and they say simply John 3:16. This famous gospel passage tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." St. John further emphasizes God's love in his first letter when he writes, "So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." 1 John 4, verse 16. God is love, and he actively seeks us out, calls us to himself all the time. Today's reading shows some of the ways that God's love for us is expressed. In the first reading, we're assured of God's attentiveness to us and to our needs. He comforts us in our fear and trembling and gives us security. This message is reinforced in the responsorial psalm, which was so familiar to all of you. The Lord is our shepherd. He watches over us, guides us, and provides for us. We can trust that he will never leave us. In the letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul assures us that in the Lord we find peace, for he is our peace. Through him we have access in one spirit to the Father. Finally, in the gospel, we're told that seeing the vast crowd, Jesus' heart was moved for pity, and he began to teach them many things. In his love, he saw the needs of their hearts and was moved to care for them by teaching them. Today's world, this last expression of love, that of Jesus' teaching, is one that is often overlooked and sometimes even dismissed. We live in a culture that emphasizes self-reliance and self-determination. We're encouraged to make up our minds for ourselves. As a consequence, many people forget to turn to the church and trust the wisdom of the church. Yet as Catholics, we believe that it is Jesus himself teaching through the church, and we believe that he teaches us from his love. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that he came that we might have abundant life. Catechism tells us that in God's perfect love, he created us to participate in his own divine life and happiness. In his revelation of himself, he has provided the answer to the questions that man asks himself about the meaning and the purpose of life. It is in following him that we only find true happiness. Today is the first day of this year's celebration of National Natural Family Planning, NFP, Awareness Week. The week in which we celebrate the anniversary of St. Paul VI, Pope St. Paul VI, encyclical Humani Vitae. The theme for this year's reflection is love beyond measure and provides the opportunity to reflect on the Church's teaching regarding marriage and responsible parenthood, especially how to live married love authentically. Venerable Fulton Sheen said, "There are not over 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church. There are millions, however, who hate what they wrongly believe to be the Catholic Church. In like manner, today we could say there are millions of people who think they know the Church's teaching on married love and responsible parenthood and disagree with it. Many set the teaching aside as unrealistic or as a burden. Yet the majority have done so without having had an open mind and really studying the whys and the hows of the teaching and what is required to practice it, or the high effectiveness of modern methods of NFP. God's plan for married love and responsible parenthood is based on the Lord's love for us and his desire for us to live the abundant life. Part of living abundantly is growing in the holiness to which each of us is called. It is precisely because the love of husband and wife is a unique participation in the mystery of life and of the love of God himself that the Church has received the special mission of guarding and protecting the lofty dignity of marriage and the most serious responsibility of the transmission of life. It is because marriage, sexuality, and fertility are so good in and of themselves that the church strives to protect our understanding of them and provides guidance on how to live in a way that respects and honors that God-given meaning. Living one's marriage relationship according to God's plan is a means to growth in both holiness and joy. Marriage images the relationship between Christ and the church. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5. Our church teaches that Christian marriage, as a reflection of the union between Christ and his church, is fully realized in the union between a man and a woman who give themselves to each other in a free, fruitful, and exclusive love, who belong to each other until death and are open to the transmission of life and are consecrated by this marriage sacrament. In fact, you've heard this before, but it is very true. It's the basis of our culture and our society. The family is called the domestic church. And in a world often alien and even hostile to faith, believing families are of primary importance as centers of living, radiant faith. Married couples are called to progress towards an ever richer union with each other at all levels, the body, character, heart, intelligence, and will of the soul. NFP is a means by which a couple lives the complete and limitless reciprocal love to which that they are called, as St. John Paul II taught when he spoke of NFP. When we talk of that, we are not speaking of just respect for the fertility cycle. According to Pope St. John Paul II, in a much more complete way, NFP entails upholding the truth of the person's profound unity of spirit, psyche, and body. NFP evidences a profound respect and love beyond measure for one's spouse in his or her totality, body, soul, and spirit, desiring not just good, but the best for him and her. As God loves the church beyond measure, as he loves each of us beyond measure, we are all called to love beyond measure. And this is true in particular way in marriage. In God's providence, different NFP methods exist so that the couples can find the one best suited to their particular situation. Obtaining qualified instruction and follow-up in a particular method allows a couple to use NFP regardless of where the woman is in her reproductive cycle. The self-discipline involved, far from being a hindrance to love one another, is a source of spiritual blessings and fosters in husband and wife thoughtfulness and loving consideration for one another. It helps them to repeal inordinate self-love, which is the opposite of charity. It arouses in them a consciousness of their responsibilities. In other words, put another way, NFP helps a couple grow and love beyond measure, as well as effectively planning their family. Further, married couples that practice NFP almost never experience divorce. So I enjoin you, take time to let the Lord teach you. Take time to fully understand the church's teaching on NFP. Explore what the church says through the Catechism of the Catholic Church or through the U.S. Bishop's document entitled Married Love and the Gift of Life. Now, some of you might be wondering why I'm addressing this subject when so many of you here are beyond child-rearing ages, right? It's because it's the truth. That's the first reason. But beyond that, it's because your mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, uncles, aunts, who need to know this critical aspect of the Catholic faith, that you might be able to fervently pass it on to children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, friends, that they might live in the fullness of truth and enjoy all the riches of the sacrament of matrimony. Our Lord told his disciples, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." That promise continues to us through the Holy Catholic Church. Trust the Lord and let him shepherd you, guiding you to his truth, to the peace and joy that only he can give.